call ExxonMobil. Listening.
Excuse me. N0TR, mobile.
TR N6CLX, mobile.
BLX, it's N0TR. My name's Tom, and I'm just sitting out in front of a doctor's office waiting on my wife to get her eye examined. How's your day?
Pretty good, Tom. Name here is Mike, and the call is November 6th, Charlie Lima X-ray. I'm a little stuffy today, so that could explain things. I'm doing okay. On the way to the dentist to get this tooth covered up that's starting to crack in half.
I can think of a lot of better things to do today. Well, at least it's not raining. And we're glad to hear that. N6CLX, Charlie Lima X-ray. Okay, and what was the name again? I'm 72, and I got a right to forget. Mine was Tom.
All right, Tom. The handle here is Mike, and I'm 56, and I have no excuse.
I don't either. That's my nephew's name, and that we think so much of. Lives up in the Boston area, which would be a real good place to be from right now. At least they're not in New York. His son was working in New York up until, about 3 months ago, and I kept telling him, get him out of there. If anything ever happens, that's going to be the worst place in the world.
A lot of people will take offense at this, but my personal feeling is it's the worst place in the world even without COVID.
Yeah, I don't take any offense to it. I'm originally from Kansas, we are, and we've been married 52 years, and we went to visit in Boston there last year. And I was sitting there beside my grandson on the airplane, and I looked down at LaGuardia, and I says, you couldn't pay me to live there. I said, that looks like a bunch of parasites or maggots trying to get at one bone. I said it softly so nobody else would hear me on the airplane.
Well, you can tell by my call. Sixth call. Grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area, and you see where I live.
Ah, yeah. Well, I brought my wife out there when I was 19 and she was 18, and I was headed to Vietnam and was stationed at Moffett Field down by the Ames Research Center. Are you familiar with that, I'll bet you?
In the South Bay, down there, anyway, down there by Silicon Valley.
Yeah, we have $1 million home if we lived there now. We lived in an apartment, a one-bedroom apartment, and it was $135 a month, and we had a swimming pool and a rec room. And I bet you couldn't do that nowadays out there.
Oh, I have one brother still out there. He lives in the Berkeley Hills, bought his house for $250,000 back in the 80s. It's worth $1.2 million now. But he can't, you know, he can't sell it and move anywhere because his wife doesn't want to move out of the area. And his son just decided to move out of the house for the fourth time and move into an apartment with a buddy, and they're going to pay somewhere around $10,000 a month for an apartment.
Well, TR, I'd have to say somebody needs their head examined. That's crazy. I talked to a guy on HF one time, probably 20 years ago, and I'll never forget it. He was in the Boston area, and I told him I couldn't afford to park my car up there in Boston. And he says, Tom, he says, the rule of thumb here is you get a house without a driveway, it's $500,000, and a house with a driveway is $1 million. Well, my nephew's a medical scientist and not going hungry, but his house was originally $4.2 million, and the people got a divorce, and I think he picked it up for about $1.9 million. That's my first house in Kansas was $4,000.
N6CLX variety. Yeah, I was just talking to my brother the other day. He says, you know, everyone out here is a millionaire. I said, well, over here, we're all thousand-eaters.
This is N0TR. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, this is a blessing. We live between Lake Cunningham and Lake Robinson over in Greer, up 14 miles north east of downtown Greenville. Moved down here about 9 years ago, going on 10, I think. And the best thing we ever done. I wish I'd have done it 30 years ago. The people are wonderful. The weather's beautiful. The peaches are excellent. And we have a lot of really nice hams down here and quite a few good ham radio clubs.
One thing I haven't done, I finally got back into the hobby about five years ago or so. But we've been here since 07. Moved here from the New Orleans area after Katrina. House wasn't flooded, but tree did its best. And after X number of hurricane evacuations, my wife and I looked at each other when we had an opportunity to move for business. And we said, let's go.
Roger. Well, my daughter was a polymer engineer, and is a polymer engineer, I should say, and she now works for GE, but she's not doing that. She's juggling money. But up in Michigan, where she was first at the Toyota Technical Center for a couple of years, and then she worked for GE for, I think, 6 or 7 years up there. She said, I'm tired of the clouds and the snow and the dreary weather, and she doesn't like cold, and she moved down here, and she's the one that convinced us to move down here, luckily. I come screaming and hollering because I was losing all my friends, and I like to hunt and fish, and which I can't do anymore. I'm just not able. But I didn't want to come, and boy, that was I have to give that to my two daughters. My other daughter's still up in Michigan. She's a professional musician, and her husband's an engineer in the automotive industry. So it's been all good for us, like hitting the lottery.
Huh? Yeah, we moved here, and as soon as the kids graduated from school, they all moved back to the New Orleans area, so we're left here alone. But it's kind of like the Northeast and the West Coast. We wonder why anyone would want to move away from here. Of course, the opposites of the West Coast and the East. I just want to keep this place a secret from them.
Well, Mike, I think the secret's gotten out because I see a lot of California tags and more New York and New Jersey tags all the time. And I talked to a lady in the doctor's office one time from New York, and she didn't like my attitude about New York particularly. She loved it up there, and I said, well, why didn't you stay? And New Orleans, I always wondered how you could build a city below sea level, and then when a hurricane hits about every 10 years, want more aid from the government when you were stupid enough to build your house below sea level in the first place. But just my guarded opinion.
Years, I'd have family come into town, and I'd drive them down the freeway or the interstate over the canal there that burst, and I just messed up. I went to the wrong doctor. Hang on. I'm going to the doctor, not the dentist. But I'm supposed to be at the dentist, and luckily I left early. Yeah, I would show people that canal that burst on the 22nd Street. I'd drive them over that, and I'd say, look at the water level in the canal. And then as we get over, I'd say, look at the house, the roof line of the house. It was a soffit. And the soffit was below the water level of the canal. How can people feel safe?
Mike, you know it's going to happen again and again and again. So I you know, I saw all the ocean I ever care to see. I really noticed that the first time I landed on the carrier, and I got out on the flight deck and I looked around, and I'm from Kansas, and the biggest thing I'd ever fished in was a lake, and you could always see land, and I thought, what have you done, Tom? You screwed up.
Man said, I should have learned how to swim.
Fortunately, you didn't get in the Navy if you couldn't swim. Ah, man. Yeah, but it was 90 feet to the water, I think, is what they said from the flight deck. And there's a very good chance you break your neck if you had to abandon ship from there.
Yeah, a good drop. Aviators at least a one-second shot to eject once they were going off the edge.
Only my plane I flew in had no ejection seats. It was a Grumman S2 Tracker, and there was four of us on board. And most of the time, and I saw films of what happened when you boltered, they called it, missed the wires. You'd hear them holler in your ears, "Bolter, bolter, bolter!" And the engines would roar, and you'd take off the angle deck and go around. And if you come in on one engine, you could land, but you couldn't take off. And I've seen the results of that, and the plane's usually out there a few hundred yards in the water. And in that particular aircraft, there were very few survivors. I can't tell you how cramped it was. It was just full of electronics.
The repeater was breaking up because of my lousy position. What kind of airplane was that?
It was called the S2D and E series trackers. It was and a submarine.
I know that plane, not 100% familiar. I had a boss years ago that flew in the Avengers. He was the radar intercept officer.
Roger. Well, in the S2, you had a pilot, and the co-pilot was a tactical coordinator when you were chasing subs. And then you had seat 3 was radar, electronic countermeasures, magnetic anomaly detection, and sniffer. And seat 4 was Julie and Jezebel. Well, later on, my brother caught a P-3 Orion squadron, and I asked for transfer and got it. And so I flew on the bigger P-3 Orions, and there was 13 of us on board that aircraft.
Yeah, I was going to say, the P-3 probably at least had a urinal.
Oh, yeah, and you had a galley. Some guy said here a while back, I talked to you, that flew in the P-3s, that they had bunks to sleep in the back, two of them. But we didn't have that. Now, that was probably the P-3 Charlies. I flew in the A's and the B's. But now they have 737s, and they're called P-8 Poseidons. Although the P-3s are still in service, and then there's a P-3, an EP-3, like the one they landed on that Chicom Island, which is strictly ELINT. It's all electronic countermeasures. That's N0TR.
I think they operate a Poseidon trainer somewhere around here, because there's a 737 about once a month doing touch and goes out of GSP.
That's correct. The guys fly up from Jacksonville, and I listen to them on this radio, matter of fact. You can dial in GSP down there, and there's several different frequencies, like tower and approach and yada, yada, yada. But 120.010, I think it is, or 120.1. Can't remember by memory unless I dial it up here. But they're in that area. And I enjoy listening to them, and they do touch and goes quite a lot down there. And that is the P-8.
Yeah, 6CLX Is that a full-fledged one? Because I don't see any of the antennas for sniffing on. Although they probably just have them well concealed nowadays. But yeah, that thing flies in. You know, I live down there by the airport, so that thing flies over the house constantly when they're doing their touch and goes.
Our daughter lives south of 14 in Pelham down there in Mojave Plantation area, they call it, down Batesville Road. And I watch them occasionally. I used to have a parking spot back there in the area of the executive airport, but they're building a new rescue squad station there, fire station, if you will. And so they loused up our parking spots. Always coming back from the kids, once in a while we'd drive down there and just sit there and watch the planes. I say they come from Jacksonville. That's the ones I've heard. But they take off and fly anywhere. Last time, that was an Air Force plane. There was a 707 doing touch and goes down there the other day. And it took out for Texas. Boy, that was a noisy thing. You probably heard that.
Sometimes I don't see them. I'm down there in that area of your daughter, too, down in Pelham Falls. Now I'm late, but I'll at least say goodbye to you. There's also the I can't remember now. The guys out of Donaldson Center repairing their transport planes. Those four prop turboprops. They're flying in and out all the time. A lot of them come in and around. It's kind of cool when the 747s land over.
They still, I think, do some repairs on the P3s down there. You know, they had a contract, and I know they loused it up a few years ago, but quality control wasn't up to snuff. But there's been EP3s and P3s down there at Donaldson. I wish I knew my way around better. I'd go down there and get a look at it, but there's no access.
APA.
I'll let y'all pick it up. This is N6CLX. I gotta go get this tooth drilled up. N6CLX, I'm clear.
Well, nice talking to you, Mike. You have fun with the tooth. Think positive. Keep your mask on. 73s. N6CLS, N0TR, and over to you, Dave.
Well, envy up there, but hope everything turns out good. We meet again, Tom. I told you my daughter's moving, so they left. My daughter and her car full of children and my wife and my other daughter, they're going down there to help her clean and, get the house ready for the movers before the movers get there. Well, she turns and hits a hole in the road and pops the sidewall and blows the tire out. So we just got to be putting another tire on the dang car for SUV.
He's going down there to change a tire. Well, I'll tell you what, there's mutual holes occurred after this rain. We come close to hitting a couple of them. Just pothole after pothole right now. So you got to be careful out there, Dave. That's no fun doing that, I'm sure, especially on these cars nowadays, as low as they are to the ground.
This was a Tahoe, and I've changed a tire on my Tundra Tacoma, and they're real similar. It's right underneath the back of the vehicle, and it has a part of the jack that you stick down in there and crank it down. But it was hard to get that thing to go around the the piece you needed to turn, it was kind of cockeyed in there, so we really had to wiggle it around in there for a while and play with it before we finally got it locked in. But anyway, and the guy that the company that's putting the tire on, they came over, they were across the street, and they came over and brought a floor jack, so I didn't have to drag her jack out, and so it worked out pretty good.
You got lucky. Yeah, I used to change the oil in this Avalon, but it just got to where I'd rather pay the $28 and have somebody else change it. And they do a good job. It's really crazy the amount of trouble this was. It's a cartridge filter, and there are two parts to it. So you got to reach under the cockeyed thing and take out the first little plug, which is 2 inches in diameter. And then from there, you take a little tool. I'm watching these people next to us, see if they're going to bang the car. But you take a little tool and plastic thing that comes with the filter, stick up in there and drain the filter. And then you take the outer casing off, change the O-rings, clean out that. And when you put it back, you got to torque two different torque ratings, one on the big canister and one on the little canister. And I thought, oh, the heck with that.
Tom, I've done hundreds of those. I could do them in my sleep. Yeah, my car holds 8 quarts of fully synthetic oil, and it's like $85 to get it changed, so I just do it myself. I could do it for $33.
You dispense with the oil legally. I got to roll the window up. Cigarette smoke coming over here. I don't need that. I hate the smell of those suckers. I don't like to have to mess with it and dispose of it and whatnot. And my neighbor does. He changed it in his big old Dodge the other day, diesel, and it was like 12 quarts of it. He changes it once a year. I change mine every 5,000 and put Mobil 1 in there. And the guy charges me $28, and I furnish my own oil, my own filter from Costco's. On the oil and the filters, I just get at Toyota. But the oil filter rinse for an Avalon is $58, and it's OEM, and you can't buy it anywhere else.
Well, you can buy it off the tool truck, but you'd probably pay that for it or more. I think we had a full set of. Because there's different sizes for different cars, and we had a full set at John Finger in a plastic case, and you just took the case out there and, you know, matched it up. I had a couple that, you know, that we used a lot. I just had them myself. I bought them because, you know, it's a pain having to walk up there to the parts department. You just waste some time. But anyway, and time is money. If you're not turning wrenches, you're not making any money. So that's the way it goes. Well, let me jump out of here. I'm back at the son-in-law's house, and I'll see if I can help him do some more, moving here. He's trying to clean out the garage.
I'm talking to you. You know, I can smell that cigarette even with both windows rolled up. And this guy smoking next to me here, and then when he gets done, he'll flip the butt out in the parking lot, and supposedly in front of this type of facility, there's no smoking whatsoever, but he's in his car, so life goes. I don't understand puffing on those things that are absolutely poisonous with 200 carcinogenic drugs in them, and then later on getting COPD and cancer. Hard to understand. Although my dad smoked 4 packs a day. My sister smoked, my older sister, my brother. Arg. You think you know better nowadays. 73, Dave, you have a good day. KB4 CBA, N0GR.
Tom, is your car running?
Is it getting scratchy?
Just wondering, because if it was running and that guy's smoking and you're still smelling it, it could be sucking it in through your, if you got your blower on, and you could put it on recirculate and stop that. But anyway. Okay. Yeah, I used to smoke too, but 2.5 packs a day for 8 years, but I'm so glad I quit. I quit when I was 24, I think. Yeah. So anyway, I started smoking when I was young, and I am so glad I quit. Well, you have a good one. 73 is in 0TR, KP4 CBA.
Yeah. When you were in the service, back then you were the outcast if they stopped for a butt break and you didn't have a cigarette. But I have to agree with you, Dave. Your tennis is far better than having lung surgery. I've had 4, and I didn't smoke. But I got a lot of secondhand smoke. 73 is Dave. I'll catch you later. And 0TR.
0TR.
It broke up. I think that was Kevin.
Reset my power level on this stupid radio. I don't know why, but it's dropping down to low when I turn the unit off and then back on. I have to figure that out. N0TR, KN4BWA. What's up, big boy?
Good morning, Steve. Well, go to 610 and bring your power level up to whatever you want it, high or whatever, and then re-memorize it, where you hold the button down and it goes beep, beep twice. That's why most of them work anyways. You'll need to re-memorize it in high or whatever level you want, because otherwise it'll revert back to low, which evidently you memorized in the first place, Steve.
My laptop to program the thing, and it was programmed in at high, and that's supposed to, it's supposed to stay there. But anyhow, in the meantime, I heard you say your daughter lives over at Mahaffey?
Yes, sir. The Mahaffey Plantation, they call it. It's a little higher pay grade than where I live.
I know the two daughters that are left out of the Mahaffey family. I used to know that place over there back when it was still Mahaffey's family farm. And as you go in and you turn down Circle Road to go down to it, there's a road to the right. It's Bateswood. My mom and dad lived out there until they passed.
That house with the pond out there next to the road. Well, if you turn left right there at that pond and go down that road about 3/4 of the way on the right side, number 58 is where they live at Griffith Creek.
About that. Well, one of the daughters, as you go in there, the house where you turn in on Bateswood, that first house on the left that's actually on the corner that has the pond back behind with a little cabin in the backyard, that is where one of the daughters lives that was part of that family that had all that back in there. Griffiths and Reeds and Mahaffey's, all over that part of that little area back there. And Mom and Dad was, 1, 2, 3, the 4th house on the right back there.
Never been up that road, Steve, but We might do that just for the fun of it. Now, I love that place there with the pond. I wish it was mine. That'd be worth a couple of bucks, I'm sure. Because I know what the kids give for their house. Unbelievable. A little kid from Pittsburgh, Kansas is going to be living in a house like that, I'll tell you. I'm proud of them. They work hard.
Well, that's what it's all about, man. If you work hard enough and you're smart enough, then, hey, there are rewards.
That's a fact. Oh, boy. They must have taken after their mothers, all I can say, Steve. Don't comment on that, or I'm going to knock you out.
No, the only thing I was going to comment on is these days, there's a huge segment of the population that just expects the government to give it to them.
And and then if you do work hard and you earn it, like you and a lot of the other guys that are out there, and I worked all my life, and then they want you to give up a greater portion of that for the ones that aren't willing to work. I don't buy that. You get what you pay for, and I know how hard Amy worked for a lot of years, and still does. She's still 110% at any job she does, and she was that way in her schoolwork.
I'm on Wadehampton Boulevard here at 101, and I just passed by some new construction, and it looks like Greer is getting the Chili's. How about that? Imagine trying to open a Chili's restaurant in this mess.
Yeah, they've been doing that quite a while. It's right in front of Kohl's, just before you get to Lowe's. Yeah, we just live up, if you turned around and went back a couple of blocks and then back up 101. Of course, I think you know that. But, wow, that Lake Cunningham last night and this morning, it's amazing, Steve, how high that sucker is. We've gotten 8 inches of rain the past several days. And I got a weather station and then I guess you call it a manual rain gauge, that pretty much stay together out in the front yard. And that's a lot of rain.
Yes, it is. Well, as a matter of fact, I'm going to have the septic tank at my building pumped out today. And I was talking to the septic tank guy, and he says, listen, your septic tank is probably just fine. It's just this much rain, the ground can't handle it. And he said he had gone out to a new neighborhood in Simpsonville, Silver something or other, Silver Leaf or Silver Lake or something down there, and two brand spanking new houses side by side. They both had 1,000-gallon tanks on them, and he said he pumped out 4,000 gallons, and he has to go back today and pump them out again because if they filled back up.
You are? Yeah, I'm still sitting out here waiting on the wife. She's got pinheads for pupils, and they usually have to dilate them 3 or 4 times in order to get them dilated. Never seen anything like it in my life. They put drops in my eyes one time, and I'm good to go. Not Bernice. Yeah, I think that's W4DJW's addition. That's Silver Lake, if I'm not mistaken on the name. And a lot of those houses do sit kind of down in a hole.
Well, no, this place was down in Simpsonville, and I think Dave lives in, well, I'm not sure where he lives, but it's in Greer. I do know he's in Greer.
Where he lives, been there. But I think they call it Silver Lake or Silver Creek or something, but just coincidentally. If you turn down, if you're coming down 101, and you come to that stoplight where you can kind of ziggy off to the right, if you're coming from the north, let's see, there's a place that makes cabinets there and things. I think it's Old Rutherford Road. And you ziggy to the right, and you go about halfway down that road to where Locust Hill comes out. But you don't go to Locust Hill. You go halfway in between. There's a big horse farm in there. And there's an addition to your right, and it's beautiful. And I think they call it Silver something or other. But that's where Dave lives, up by me. He used to live next door to me before I moved there, actually, Steve.
Oh, really? How about that? Well, I was thinking you were over towards O'Neill.
Well, you'd be coming from the north, so when you see that O'Neill addition just past the church there on the left, you turn left down Brown Road, down that big hill, and I'd be the fourth house on the right. They built another house in there.
I know where all the money is.
The O'Neill additions made our house appreciate quite a lot, unbelievably. But because we got 1.2 acres, they got about 6 feet between houses.
I think I've told you before, but that's exactly why I did what I did. I bought 8 acres up off of New Cut Road. My closest neighbor is about, I'd say, 400 yards away. And nobody knows if I step out on my back porch in my underwear, and nobody cares. Nobody can see. And you know what? That's the way I like it.
Yeah, well, I'm from Kansas, so I think you kind of get the idea that I feel the same way. We lived in town, but we was out to her mom's farm a whole lot, or else out to my brother-in-law's farm a whole lot, and always wanted to live on a farm, but never could afford one. But that was, you know, I could be hunting or fishing in 5 minutes from where I lived. That's the way I like it too, Steve. I envy you up there. But we're about as close to it as you can get. And the nice thing is, when you get to be our age, everything's 5 miles away for the most part that we need. So all you got to do is drive down. It's exactly 5 miles to Aldi's. It's 5 miles to Lowe's. It's 5 miles to Home Depot, Kentucky Fried Chicken, any of the necessities, you know. we don't eat out very often, by the way. But, yeah, it's really nice for us. And it's 14 miles before you get in to Greenville. We're on the west side of Greenville now, by the way, over here by the... We're just north of the Greenville Medical Center at a small doctor's office here where she's getting her eyes examined. She's pre-diabetic, so they look at them once a year down here.
Yep, you got to keep up with that stuff. Well, so what's the verdict? Do you like it down here?
Well, I always answer the same thing to that question. I come screaming and hollering, and the daughters both said, "You're moving, Dad, once you get retarded." And I said, "Well, I've been retired a long time." So we moved down here. Ironically, Amy said that that's the daughter down at Mahaffey Plantation there. I found a letter here a while back, and she says, "One of these days, Dad, I'll be making six figures and move to a place where it's warm, and we'll move you and Mom down here." And, you know, she wrote that letter back in the 80s, I think it was, and it come true. I always tell people the best thing about moving down here, number one, is the people. And number two is the peaches. And number three is the mountains and the scenery and all.
Thing but the ocean, and it's close enough.
I've seen enough ocean, Steve, when I was in the Navy. They can stuff it. I don't like swimming where things can eat you. I don't like swimming in salt water. And I don't like being out where you can't see land. It's just not my cup of tea. Why did I join the Navy? Well, my brother was in the Navy, And you had two choices back then in the 60s. You joined or you got drafted into the Army. Just think about that.
Oh, yeah. Yep, and I can't picture you as a ground pounder. yeah, I tell you what. Anywhere from Calabash down to the southern end of Merle's Inlet, I avoid it like the plague. When I like to go to the ocean, I like to go to places that you know, there's no neon.
Well, you know, I do think the ocean's beautiful. God's blessed us with that. And I love to see lighthouses. And we were stationed, Bernice wasn't in the service, but she was with me out in California. And we'd go up on the mountains at Milpitas there, and it was rolling hills, kind of like it is here. It wasn't really mountains. And you could overlook the whole Bay Area, and it sort of looked like LaGuardia at night, you know. But we lived at Mountain View, and it was quite a ways from it, 40 miles. And it's nice to see, but I sure wouldn't want to live there. And the ocean, I don't know. It just, I tell you, the most beautiful places I ever seen in my life was regarding the ocean. We were approaching Wake Island, and I walked up into the cockpit and looked out, and oh my God, the ocean was like a dream. It was turquoise and beautiful, and that little tiny rock down there was Wake Island, and then we landed at Midway, and it looked the same way. Now, the Philippines, the water wasn't that pretty, but out there in those, tropics or the Western Pacific out there, it's really beautiful when you get out around those islands. It's nice to see, but wouldn't want to live there. Although Hawaii is a beautiful place, but now it's overridden with people.
Camps on the anthill and too many tourists. Yeah. Unless you get to one of the outer islands. And, you know, I've heard the outer islands are just absolutely gorgeous. Ranches and farms and that kind of stuff. It's supposed to be real nice. But, there again, tourists don't go out there. Oh, me. Well, I'll tell you what, as far as California goes, somewhere along the Nevada border, they can just kind of chop it off and they can keep that part.
Yeah, that's what Pelosi's trying to do now is to get all the stimulus for those states that squandered their money and wasted their money, and she's trying to bail them out now with this next stimulus bill of trillions of dollars so that other states will follow suit and get just like them. Or that's enough said on politics, bad subject. But that's the truth. But I'm with you. We had a device, it was called a sniffer in the S2. The Petries didn't have it. But what it would do was it would sniff out a conventional submarine, Steve. Now I'll drop this. When we come in to land at North Island at San Diego at night, all you could see was a yellow haze from there clear to Los Angeles. And Sniffer sniffed out the exhaust of conventional submarines by looking at the what they call condensation nuclei and the carbon particulate, and you fly in and out of that stream of smoke coming from their snorkel when they were recharging their batteries, and it would get narrower and narrower and narrower as you went in and out, getting towards the submarine. How well do you think that worked out there along the California coast?
Battalion 4 BWA. Tom, I got a phone call, bud. I didn't want to leave you hanging. I'll be back in a few minutes, okay?
It's no problem. I understand when you disappear like that. This is 0GR, clear.